सुदेवाया
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया
युगे
जना
Sanskrit is so flowing. Most European languages there's some stress on different sort of Sanskrit sounds flow. I'm just reading through Prabhupada's lectures and so many times Prabhupada is correcting the pronunciation. Most of the Lord is to do it nice and easy.
Vedas are vast body of literature which were written down 5,000 years ago. The great sage Vyasa, but whose origin goes back even long beyond the time of the origin in human society goes back to the time of creation. Ved literally means knowledge. And the Vedic literature gives all kinds of knowledge to human society. Knowledge of science, mathematics, astronomy, astrology, arts, economics, sociology, politics, all kinds of knowledge given in the Vedic literature for the advancement of humans. And particularly knowledge is given of how to uplift mankind to the spiritual path, which is the particular purpose of human life. Now, the Vedic literature contains histories of the universe, not only of this planet, but all the planets in the universe, going back millions and millions of years, and also gives predictions for the future. Now, these predictions, they were written down 5,000 years ago. And by examining them today, we can see how accurate is the knowledge given in the Vedic literature. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the most important of all the Vedic literatures, an analysis of the present age in which we are living is given. At the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, a general description of Kali Yuga is given in this verse. And in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, towards the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, detailed analysis of the bad qualities of Kali Yuga. The Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't only give predictions of the downfall of human society, but also gives the solutions. Therefore, a study of these predictions with the solutions is very valuable for human society. Because at the present time, human society is very much disturbed. Practically everybody feels disturbed in one way or another. Human society is very much in need of a clue as to how to organize itself in such a way that people can live peacefully together. That is the minimum qualification of a well-organized society. So by studying the predictions in Srimad Bhagavatam and understanding their accuracy, then we can understand that Vyasadeva, who was seen in the past, what is going to happen in the future. And because his predictions are so much accurate, we can understand that solutions he offers are also accurate. So this, the first description of Kali Yuga given in the Bhagavatam states that in this age people have thought lines. Now, the Vedic literatures describe that civilized man has been present on this planet and on many planets throughout the universe for many millions of years. Modern man is propagating, modern scientists are propagating that civilized man has only been on this planet for a few thousand years. Although they have given the theory of evolution of man from lower species of life. However, the Vedic literatures give a different scenario, that civilized man has been present for many millions of years. And that time goes in great cycles. Just like within each year there are seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter. So in the great cycle of time, there are different ages in which there are different characteristics. Just like we know in spring that the bulbs flowers, they start to come up. Those trees which shed their leaves, they start to have leaves again. The harsh cold of winter starts to recede. In summer, we know that we expect long days with clear blue skies and hot. In autumn, again, coldness starts to begin. Trees start to shed their leaves. Winter, cold and dark. So in the same way, there are seasons in time, of a great expanse of time, which are described in the Vedic literature. First age is called Satya Yuga. That, in that age, which lasted four times, 432,000 years, that means 1,007,500 years. Then, human beings used to live up to 100,000 years. And almost everybody was a highly advanced transcendental. The natural disturbances were practically unheard of. Next came the Treta Yuga, in which people lived for the duration of this is approximately 1,300,000. And people in this age used to live up to 10,000 years. And still, people were very pious, but the religious principles, which had been almost 100% present in Satya Yuga, became diminished by 25%. Next came Dwarapa Yuga, which lasts for about approximately 850,000 years, in which the duration of life for human beings was generally around 1,000 years. And human society, religious principles within human society became diminished to 50% only. Then 5,000 years ago began Kali Yuga, which is to last a total of 432. In which the duration of life is supposed to be up to 100 years. But that is also very much diminished. Religious principles are diminished to 25%. That means when the irreligious principles are more than the religious principles, then society becomes chaotic. This point about short life expectancy, we can see that many people die very young. It's not uncommon for people of age 30 to have a heart attack, 30, 40, young men. In this country, so many people die young. And what to speak of, so many deaths by accidents, road accidents, plane crashes. Although actually, according to statistics that were released in Britain recently, there are more people suffer from accidents at home than on the road. Even the home is very dangerous, such as, for instance, electric shocks or gas explosions, or someone's doing some work in their home, and the structure falls on them. So the duration of life is very short. According to the laws of karma, those who are sinful, their lifespan becomes very short. So in this age of Kali, people are very sinful. The four basic principles of religion, kindness, mercy, truth, austerity, they are anathema to the people. It's anathema. It means, it doesn't mean anything to them. Therefore, their lifespans are becoming short. So very basic knowledge of how to keep healthy is practically unknown. Who taught all the devotees to do like this when the curtain closes and taught them? Maybe I taught them. Most of the devotees by God said, don't disturb the whole class. So even very basic principles of how to keep healthy, in modern society, people don't know. We eat all kinds of terrible foods. With a mistaken idea that this will make them healthy. It's like in this country, people are very fond of eating meat and drinking alcohol. Why this? And they think this will make you very strong. But as a matter of fact, both meat and alcohol, they're very poisonous. And especially when you take them together, it becomes geometrically poisonous. But people don't care. They think, oh, strong. Gives me more energy for more sexual appetite. And so many different foods they eat, poisonous. Just like you see, they put all kinds of chemical preservatives in food. Then after some time, they find that everyone's getting cancer from these preservatives, even though they were supposed to have tested it nicely on different animals. So then they say, sorry, never mind, we'll find a new preservative. We won't use that one anymore. Then they find a new one, and then they find that's also poisonous. After 20 years, and so many people have cancer. Actually, you'll find in any traditional culture, people, they know how to eat to stay healthy. Especially in India, this is well-developed knowledge. Right. Basic point is if you are unhealthy, don't eat. You'll find animals, if they become healthy, they don't eat until their health is recovered. But people in modern society, they don't know this. Before I joined this movement, I was
staying for some time in a Christian monastery.
So they were vegetarians in that monastery, surprised. But they told me that if they get sick, then they can eat some fish or eggs just to help them get healthy. So how to eat to be healthy? Prabhupada said, eat a cold and starve a fever. If you have a cold, you should eat. If you have a fever, don't eat. One time Prabhupada was explaining that by use of different spices in cooking, that even when you're sick, you can eat different kinds of foods if you know which kind of spice, which kinds of vegetables to combine, so that it will help you to get healthy. In India, there are so many different rules for eating, so as to stay healthy. Don't take that. Some foods are cooling to the system, some foods are heating. So cooling food should be eaten in the summer, eating food should be eaten in the winter. Don't take coconut water. It's very good to drink, but don't take it soon. Don't take it after a meal, because it's very cooling. It will stop the fire of digestion. Your digestion isn't... If you have an acidic stomach, don't eat acidic foods. But modern society, just whenever you feel like it, eat. No regulated time. No regular time for eating or sleeping. This is committing violence on the body. But people think, never mind, if I feel sick, I'll just take some pills. So this the pill has some immediate effect. But in the long term, combination of ingesting all these chemicals combined with irregular lifestyle, wrong foods, it makes people's whole systems sick. Modern scientists are very proud that we have cured so many diseases. So modern society has created so many diseases. Like we find so many people are suffering from gastric ulcers caused by anxiety, irregular lifestyle, and wrong foods. So many people suffer from high blood pressure, so much mental disturbance. In England, last time I was there, they told me that 1 in 3 people in England, in the course of their life, they need some psychiatric treatment. So people, they're unhappy, their lives are short. Here, Prabhupada has given different reasons for bad health. How the vitality of your energy is taken away. Overeating, over-sense gratification. This is very prominent in the Western countries, especially. The senses are always being stimulated. All the time people have to listen to some music, or they have to taste something, either cigarette, or food, or some drink, tea, or coffee. They very much stress the importance of sexual attraction. So that men and women dress to attract each other. Their dealings with each other are always lined with so many sexual overtones. So are these, this great stress, sense gratification that takes away the energy of the human being, becomes physically and mentally exhausted. Then over-dependence on another's mercy. In Kali Yuga, there's practically no one has an independent means of living. Everyone is, apart from very few people, everyone is working for someone else. But someone who is in this way, a paid servant of someone else, then he cannot develop spiritual understanding, because he has to become a servant, not only physically but mentally, of his master. He has to live according to the standards dictated by the master, instead of living according to the standard which will elevate him in spiritual culture. Yes. And artificial standards of living, people think, unless I have a car, my own house, unless I have so many material acquisitions, then my life is wasted. This is particularly prominent in the consumeristic societies. The Western world. There's so much attention so much of the human energy is channeled into getting more acquisition. There's a whole advertising industry which deludes people into thinking they need things which they don't need at all. You need a refrigerator. You need the best car. You need to be prestigious, your family should have at least 2 or 3 cars. 3 televisions. You don't need any television. Men have lived for thousands of years without television. But nowadays people think, unless we have a television, how can you live? Sometimes people charge our Krishna conscious mood as inflicting a cruel lifestyle upon its members. And one of the evidences is that the members are not allowed to watch television. And people think that this is how you should live as a human being. But factually they have no idea how one should live. The whole way of life is set up so that people will simply be disturbed in their mind. Therefore, people live very unhappy, short lives, harassing others and being harassed by others. People are very selfish. They They think, what is my personal interest? Even in family life, many times the parents, they don't much care for the children, and the children hardly care at all for the parents. Someone may be married for so many years with several children, and then out of total selfishness, he decides that, well, I don't like my wife anymore. My young secretary is much better looking. So leave the wife and children and run off with the young secretary. Totally selfish. These are symptoms of Kali Yuga. People are also very lazy. If they can get money by any easy means, they're satisfied. In proper human society, everyone should make some contribution to the society. Everyone should work in such a way that his necessities of life are fulfilled, but at the same time he's contributing something to the society. Just like we see previously, craftsmen took pride in their work. They wouldn't just make a chair, but they would see that they made it very nicely with stuff, so it would last for many, many years. And they would make some nice design, some carving for aesthetic sense. Nowadays, everything is mass-produced in factories. Everything is just how you can make money. You can make money by cheating, lying, stealing, stuff like that. But people are very lazy, not only materially, but spiritually. Nobody thinks, what is the purpose of life? And human life is meant for inquiry into the absolute truth. Any thoughtful person must introspectively consider, what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of the creation? Is there God? Who is he? What is our relationship with? Not only should people ask such questions, but they should apply themselves to the path of spiritual improvement. This is the proper use of human life. Nowadays, such inquiries, people only dismiss them as foolishness. If someone engages in completely nonsensical activities, such as going to football matches or discos, they think, that's very good, very normal. But if someone is interested in spiritual realization, they think, this person is crazy. Or even if people do take to some spiritual path, again, because they're lazy, they look for something cheap. They look for some holy man who will bless them. They think, now I have the blessing, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to follow anything. I don't have to work on becoming purified. Quickly I'll take a blessing and go to sleep. They don't try to understand. Vedic literature has given so much valuable spiritual knowledge, but people are too lazy to try to find it. They're too lazy even to think about spiritual things. They'll say something like, I'm a Christian and I believe in the Bible. All I have to do is believe in Jesus. There's no endeavor to try to understand even what Jesus is teaching. People are lazy, materially and spiritually. So in this way, there are so many symptoms of Kali Yuga, which I want to discuss in upcoming lectures. It's a very big analysis is given there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the point of analyzing all this is just to see how miserable and horrible it is, so that we can apply ourselves with full determination to the solution to the problems of Kali Yuga, which is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and distributing the studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, seeing the horrible condition of Kali Yuga, our compassion should be awakened. If people are suffering so much, let us give them the knowledge by which they can be released from this. So again, we'll discuss this subject later today. I'll finish the lecture there. Are there any questions?
Yes. The space and time are compressed.
Well, Prabhupada always used to say that every living being lives for 100 years. He said even the ant lives for 100 years of his own time. Prabhupada sometimes used to speak about different kinds. There's one kind of bug in India that is born after sunset. So he has his childhood, his youth, his marriage, his old age, and his death all before sunrise. So he's thinking, I'm living a very long, happy life, and we are laughing. What a short life he's leading. But from the position of Lord Brahma looking down, us also, if Lord Brahma is to watch any jiva like us, we're going one body to another, to another, to another, jumping from body to body. We're thinking we're leading a long life. I am now 78 years old. Very old man, someone may be thinking. But, from the point of view of Brahma, he just blinked his eyes. And he was born and died in the same time. There's the story in Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto of Kukudma, who's the father of Revati. So, he thought, my daughter is very qualified. Let me go to Lord Brahma. He knows everything that's going on in the universe. And he can tell me who is the best person to marry her to. So when he reached Brahma Loka, there was Lord Brahma, there was some social function going on. So they waited, and after a few minutes, the social function was finished. And Kavadma Maharaj told that I brought my daughter here, maybe you could recommend who to marry her. Lord Brahma laughed. He said, in the few minutes that you've been here, all the people you thought they should be married to, they're all dead. Not only are they dead, but the dynasties in which they lived, they've all died out. Because in Vedic culture, people, they trace back their ancestors, many hundreds of generations. Even their names are not known in human society. They were great kings, but even their names are not known in human society. So he said, go quick, right now to Earth, because Balaram is there. Marry your daughter to Balaram. I'm in shock. Don't have much time to become purified now. Spread Krishna consciousness now. So many things to do. Any other questions?
How can we on this explain for people very simple? What is absolute truth? What's the best possible enabling them to understand?
Well, you may not be able to. To understand the absolute truth may take millions of lifetimes. Of people who are living a very purified life, they may understand the absolute truth in millions of lifetimes. People who are leading a very pure life, they may understand the absolute truth after millions of lives. So generally, on the street, we may just explain some basic principles to people if they're curious, and give them Prabhupada's books, which will explain everything to them. Of course, even in giving Prabhupada's books, some preaching has to be there. So what to say exactly, that Krishna will give you intelligence. How to speak exactly to each person. These books give knowledge of God, how we can revive our love for God, and we can have a very close, loving relationship with God. Depends. Different people, you have to say different things. In America, people's minds tend to be very complex. So many of our devotees, they're expert in just on the spot, just preaching to people in all kinds of different ways to attract them to the books. Because they're experienced book distributors, and Krishna gives them the intelligence exactly how to preach to different people.
Just a bit
we should feel, this is so wonderful, I'm getting the opportunity to serve Krishna. Krishna is so kind to me. We're not impersonal, that we're trying to crush feelings. We want to develop our feelings for Krishna. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. The point is that those feelings that we have for Krishna, they have to be solidified by understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. If we only operate on the feelings platform, then in our neophyte stage, Maya will attack us so that we may not feel so nice about serving Krishna. We may feel, well, I'm serving Krishna so nicely, but the other devotees, they're not so advanced as me. This is how Maya works in our mind. Then we make offenses towards devotees. First of all, mentally, then verbally, we make offenses to devotees, and our spiritual life is spoiled. Another danger, as I was explaining yesterday, is that immature devotees, they put so much stress on what they're feeling. And their whole devotional service becomes orientated around how I can feel happy in Krishna consciousness. Whereas the proper understanding is we should always act in such a way that Guru and Krishna will be pleased. A real devotee's attitude is that I may be happy or not happy, but I have to act in such a way that Guru and Krishna will be happy. And actually a devotee who acts in this way, he is blessed by Guru and Krishna with ever-increasing happiness in devotion. But one who's interested in his own happiness, he thinks, so why should I, after some time he may think that why should I do all this work for Krishna? Let me just enjoy hearing about some elevated pastimes. So we want to develop our feelings for Krishna. But because our mind is not pure at the present time, we should know that we may sometimes mistake our immature feelings as something which is something very advanced. Therefore, we should apply ourselves very carefully to the process of sadhana bhakti, carefully hearing the message of Krishna, reading the books of Srila Prabhupada, so that that feeling that we have for serving Krishna can mature into pure devotional service. So both things have to be there, sentiment and philosophy. Mm-hmm. Clear?
Yes.
And understand why that if we may wash that.
Therefore, we have this sadhana bhakti. We should become attached to the hearing and chanting about Krishna. As far as a great endeavor is concerned, we should also understand that properly. Yesterday, as well as sentimentalism, I was also talking about fanaticism. So one kind of fanatic is also someone who tries to break his way into the kingdom of heaven within 3 days. That I'm just going to sleep 2 hours a day and eat this much food every day, chant 120 rounds a day. In this way, I'm going to force my way back to Godhead. This is not recommended. One should be very cool-headed and mature in his approach to Krishna consciousness. Should take up Krishna consciousness in such a way that he can go on day after day, year after year, serving Krishna. Work hard for Krishna. Always be engaged in doing something for Krishna. Do it from the platform of the mode of goodness, not the mode of passion. Work hard means we should always be doing something in Krishna's service.
Well,
work hard. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're always running around doing something. You should all take time every day to sit down and read Prabhupada's books. So everything, this described in Nectar of Instruction, everything very steadily, every day. Chant, read, engage in Krishna's service. Apply ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness very seriously. Pray for the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And have faith that when Guru and Krishna are satisfied, then all our advancement will be given automatically. One more question, and again this evening. Anyone else? All right.
How to deal with the devotees? Good, yes.
Good in devotional service means, if he's being offensive, then how is he good? It means all round good. If someone is being offensive, then that should be called to the attention of the relevant authorities. In each temple we have temple president. So if there's some problem like this between devotees, if it's really such a serious problem, it's better taken to the attention of the temple president. Otherwise, if we just start some gang wars in the temple, then everything becomes anarchy. Naturally, because it's Kali Yuga, there's always some hot or cold war, as Prabhupada says in the process. Even between devotees. But we shouldn't become so much overly concerned with this. Some people have a very heavy nature. It may take some time for them to become purified of it. If they're making a valuable contribution to the Krishna conscious movement, then we may overlook some faults. Prabhupada hadn't tolerated the faults of his disciples. This movement would never have spread. So that's one point. Another point is that we may think the other person's being offensive. Maybe it's just our own false ego. Someone may be telling us something and you're thinking, who's this guy to say anything to me? So on the whole, we shouldn't get into too many mental trips with all the devotees. We should see everyone who's come to serve Krishna, they are glorious. That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that anyone who's sincerely trying to serve me, even if he has some faults, Krishna says, I accept him as my devotee. Apiche sudara charo bhajate mamanam sadore vasama. Krishna says, even if someone does something really off, really bad, if he's seriously trying to serve me, I accept him as a servant. Krishna says, Shipram Bhavati Dharma. Right? Such a person will quickly become purified. So living in the association of devotees, no doubt it can be very intense. Everyone's going through a rapid purification process. The strain of having your false ego removed so quickly sometimes makes the devotees a little unusual in their behavior. So when we're all in a big cooking pot, having our own, we're all stuck together, having our false ego burned out. And another thing, devotees, they come from all kinds of different backgrounds and they're just all kind of thrown together in the ashram. So anyway, it's Krishna's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy. We're all together in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we may have to tolerate different difficulties. Some of the difficulties may be living with devotees whose their nature doesn't coincide with us, with our soul. Anyway, we should tolerate all these difficulties for the sake of our progress, because whatever we may think, the association of devotees is that which is saving us. So, despite a few bumps here and there, we should tolerate that and remain in the association of devotees. All together, we're all helping each other to go back to God. You may think someone's being offensive towards you, maybe he's calling you a rascal or something. But instead of thinking he's offensive, you can think, oh, he's so kind, he's telling me what's my actual position. Purify that. All right, so we'll finish there, and again this evening.